Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, hello and welcome from sunny Naples, Florida. I hope you're doing well this week. And we just barely made it on the air with some issues getting up the new computer and everything set. But here we are. And Chris, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Happy pre-Thanksgiving weekend, everybody. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. There was a lot of football, a lot of everything, a lot of sports to talk about. NFL, we had the college. So we're going to do we're going to start with the NFL tonight. Then we're going to go to college football and set that up for you for next week with the big Thanksgiving Day games and Thanksgiving weekend games, I should say. They go right from Thursday right through, I guess. And then we've got college basketball, baseball. We got the baseball awards that we'll go over and talk about them. And an announcing change. We don't know the full extent of what's happening, but we'll make that announcement. There will be a move in the booth from one place to another, but we don't know exactly the whole story yet. And college basketball is coming up, and then of course we'll take our callers. And whenever I say that, I then say, hey, Sean, why don't you tell us what's going on with all our numbers and way to get a hold of us and everything.
Well, first of all, I want to let y'all know we will be here next Sunday night. I know the other shows are taking off because of Wednesday and Thursday, with Thanksgiving, but by Sunday, you'll be turkeyed out, and you'll want to come hear us turkeys.
Gobble, gobble.
Because we will have some championships to discuss, but college tournaments getting over, a few things, all that. But anyway, if you want to leave us a message at any time, if you're listening throughout the week, or even if you're listening tonight and you don't want to call in right away, you can call 773-572-7715. Hit the pound key. Do not mark the message private. That way we can all hear it. Also, Ringside Robert, his Ringside Reporter podcast at ringsidereporter.com, all your podcast platforms, and 773-572-7781. And Perry with his XM schedules. And, well, you get 641-715-3800, 36867 pounds. Follow the prompts and you can get the options. So there you go. What's going on in the NFL today?
Well, we can start last Thursday. And we had a good game Thursday. And it was Seahawks 27 and the Packers 24. The Packers basically led the whole game until the final 6 minutes or so when the Seahawks scored the game-winning touchdown with about 6 minutes to go. And after that, the Packers didn't score anymore.
Yeah, the Packers, you're right, they led the game. And at one point, they were ahead 14-3, I think it was. I mean, they looked like they were in control. But their defense isn't that good. Nobody's got a great defense, but the Packers have struggled with that. They're still in the wild card mix. We'll talk about that after we do all these wrap-ups of these games. But they're in the wild card mix, but Seattle has a little bit of a tiebreaker over them if it comes down to it. You never know how that's all going to break down at the end of the year. But, that was an important win because when you look back at these things, well, if so-and-so tie, what happens? Well, you look back and you say, okay, Seattle beat Green Bay. That could be important.
Well, and I suspect if the Packers don't make the playoffs, this might be the year that McCarthy is out in Green Bay.
I think so.
I think this might
because they're saying it, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is looking, if you listen to the Packer broadcast, they're saying Aaron Rodgers is looking better. He's pretty much looking back to normal. He's doing things that he couldn't do a month ago. So they're not going to be able to hang it on Aaron Rodgers' injury, which they kind of could last year because he was banged up for quite a section of the season. But this year, it was scary that first week, but he has worked himself back into it, and he's had a very good year. It's not the problem of the offense. That's one of the best offenses in the league. It's really the defense.
I suspect the game that'll get the most discussion tonight is this one here. Texans 23, Redskins 21. Quarterback Alex Smith left the game with a broken tibia and a broken fibula. And listening on NFL radio and Sirius XM, Steve Torrey and Bill Lacus said it looked like a very gruesome injury.
And he's done for the season, I think.
He is done. And Colt McCoy came in and did okay. And it was announced after the game that The Redskins are bringing in three quarterbacks to compete for the backup job. TJ Yates, EJ Manuel, and Mark Sanchez. And Chris wanted to
I'm just saying, Colin Kaepernick says cha-ching to that, because what's going to happen is he is being blackballed. Now, I understand that he brings a little bag. You know, let's not talk about the politics, if you agree with him or disagree with him or think he's a good spokesman for his cause or any of that stuff. That's a whole other issue, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that they're bringing in the retreads of retreads. They're bringing in people that have failed four times in, like Mark Sanchez and people like that in various situations, who never came anywhere near leading a team to the playoffs, let alone to the Super Bowl. And they're not even giving Colin Kaepernick a chance. In the meantime, years ago, they brought in Michael Vick, who, you know, is backup and so forth, who was, you know, convicted and everything else, and had his own baggage and certainly caused demonstrations.
Speaking of convicted, by the way, Ray Caruth was released from prison. You might remember Ray Caruth was charged with attempting to have killed his girlfriend and stuff like that. So right. Ray Caruth is now.
So I'm just saying, if you just looking at it, and I know Sean has a different, we'll get to Sean in a minute. I'm just saying the point is that if you're going to bring in Michael Vick, and if you're going to bring in these retreads, and you don't bring any, Colin Kaepernick, you could even have that jury that didn't know anything about the USFL and killed it because they gave him triple damages, which got them $3. You could even have that jury understand that a guy who had actually had some success in the league and more success than these guys is being blackballed. Go ahead, Sean.
I think Kaepernick's doing it to himself. He's had situations where he could have come into the league and it just didn't happen. I think he's doing it in a lot of ways to himself because he knows he can make more money by not coming to the league. So we don't even know how many offers have been made to him, because he knows if he sets out, because the minute he comes back, everything stops. Where if he stays gone, like you said, cha-ching, he can build his cause. He knows what he's doing. He did what he did in a lot of ways, I think, because he knew he was about to be cut by San Francisco. He was losing playing time, and, you know, the publicity helped. They couldn't cut him.
Remind me, Perry, because you're the guy that might remember exactly how that Seattle situation worked like that time, because there was talk with Seattle that he might come in as a backup or whatever last summer, and he didn't. And who backed away? Was it Seattle or him?
It was Seattle, because they wanted him. At one point, he had said he would agree, you know, that he would give up the kneeling and stuff like that if somebody would give him a chance. Well, apparently, he had decided he did not want to do that, and the Seahawks, I guess at that point, the Seahawks did not want. They didn't want.
There was also something with Baltimore. There was also something with Baltimore, too, where he was close, and then because he wouldn't give a definite, it was kind of similar, he wouldn't give a definite answer, yes or no.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, there may be some fault on his side, but this just builds his case. I think he's going to win,
I would tend to agree. In another game that had some meaning as far as playoffs and, you know, wild cards and things, Cowboys 22, I should say, and the Falcons 19.
Yeah, this was a game between 2-4 and 5 teams, and what you've got here, and we'll talk about it when we take a quick look at the standings, is you've got teams in the NFC and the AFC with about 5 losses that are fighting for a wild card spot. What this has also done with Dallas is, and we kind of wrote them off a couple weeks ago when they lost to Tennessee. They're having a very strange season, but they're now 5-5, and they're only a game behind the Redskins, and the Redskins don't have Alex Smith anymore. Not that he's a world beater, but he's got more experience than Colt McCoy.
The Cowboys play on Thursday.
And then they're playing the Redskins in Dallas. So, you know, we'll talk about it later, but the Eagles lost an opportunity to be right there with them. And, they just got manhandled. We'll get to that later.
Giants 38, Buccaneers 35. The Buccaneers just couldn't stop anybody. Jameis Winston came in. Apparently, I didn't catch much of this game, but Ryan Fitzpatrick was ineffective, so Jameis Winston came back. What that really tells you, I think, when you keep going back and forth with quarterbacks, is they really don't think either one of these two guys might be the answer.
Yeah, they're going to have to look at that and figure out what they're going to do, because, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has a lot of knowledge. He's got a good attitude and everything else. Jameis Winston is just kind of a wild and crazy quarterback, and always has been. And you can't really necessarily control him. And they're both turnover machines. That's the worst thing. You can't be winning football games with turnovers all the time.
Well, and really, when you score 35 points, too, they're going to have to look at that, too, because scoring 35 points, that should be good enough to win in the NFL. So they're going to look at the defense.
And the Giants, with their win in San Francisco last Monday, which you got to give them credit for, they were two bad teams, but somebody's got to win the game, and they went on the road and did it. So they're starting to play decent football now, if Jeff is out there listening. So, and as we told you, Jeff, before, it was the defense. Today, it was kind of the offense, but they got it done. And they're going to go in and play Philadelphia next week. We'll be going over the schedule, but they may be a tough opponent for the Eagles at this point. They've got a lot of injury.
Yeah, and when you hear what the Eagles did today, you can certainly see how they would be optimistic.
Right.
In another game that was very, very tight, Steelers 20, Jaguars 16, the Steelers scored with like around 8 seconds to go in the game to win the game.
Yep. Ben Roethlisberger ran it into the end zone from a yard out. They were behind 16-0. They came back and won the game. And this is what a good team does, and this is what a bad team does. And this year, Jacksonville is a bad team. The only good game, the really good game they played was when they killed the Patriots earlier in the season. But, you know, the Steelers have, and around that time, the Steelers got their act together. They're going to be a tough foe. I'm telling you, the four division winners in the AFC are very evenly matched in various ways. It's going to be a heck of a playoff, and the Chargers too, I think. That sixth wild card team, whoever comes in that second wild card, I think they won't be around very long. It'll be thank you for coming. But those other teams in the AFC, it's very evenly matched, I think.
Oh, yeah. In this, and Bill, I would bet you're happy about this one. Colts 38, Titans 10.
Yep.
It's about time, except I couldn't watch the Colts game here. I listened on the radio, though. We had company and they wanted to watch it, but they couldn't do it. But great game by the Colts.
Yes. And they're in the mix for that wild card spot, you know, and when they were 1-5, you know, again, that's a mark of a good coach and a good organization. When you can pull yourselves back together like the Steelers did, like Houston has done. Some of these teams who had really bad starts and they've really gotten back into the mix. And in Houston's case, they control the division. We'll get to that when we get to that game.
Lions 20, Panthers 19. With a minute to go,
the
Panthers scored a touchdown to get to 20-19 and went for two to try to win the game. In retrospect, Ron Rivera said that probably wasn't the right decision, but they went for two to try to win it, and it did not work.
Well, I was first guessing that one. You know, I always like to say to people, and of course, nobody can sit here and nobody sitting in my living room knows what I said at the time. I went along with him this time, and I've railed badly against some of these 2-point tries in the wrong time. But the way Graham Gano was kicking, and again, but there's two parts to it. The way he was kicking, and they were trying to, think about it on Carolina's broadcast. They were trying to say, oh, well, maybe they're thinking about if they get it, you know, do this or that with the 2-pointer. They're trying to do a margin thing. It was really all about not having confidence in Gano. How do you bring him back if you don't do that? That's really, everybody knows that's why he did it. But I understood why he did it, because he just didn't trust him to kick that tying extra point.
Well, and you wonder if Gano is going to have a problem going forward, because if you don't trust him to tie the game, and you know, that could have been a big game for them.
Yes, it is. I mean, they're in good shape for that top wild card, but they've given now the Saints a real stranglehold on that division by losing that game,
which I'm sure Pierre is happy about.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Ravens 24, Bengals 21. I would imagine the seat underneath Marvin Lewis is getting hotter and hotter and hotter.
Oh, he is close on his way out, I think.
Well, yeah, he's on his way out. What's it been, 16 years? He's behind Bill Belichick for second in seniority. How he hasn't been fired all this time, I think he's got pictures, something's going on. But either way, they're in that mix with the 5-loss teams that we'll talk about that are all available for that second wild card to go into somewhere, pick Pittsburgh or someplace and play. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
And continuing with our scoreboard, we had Broncos 23, Chargers 22. That was a great finish.
It was. The Broncos are actually, I know there's behind a bunch of teams, but they're now 4-6, and they have a modicum of a chance. Not a great one, but they're at least can be, you know, they saved their season for as much as it's savable. And, you know, they did run a good drive down the end, and Case Keenum did a good job to bring them back. The Chargers are in good shape. See, the Chargers are going to relax a little bit. Unless they really screw up, they've got that top wild card spot pretty well nailed down. So they've got a 2-game lead on all those other teams. So with the 5 losses. So but the Chargers, you know, they want to keep winning, and it's not that late in the season. They could still screw it up. But Denver certainly had a nice comeback for them.
You know, and we have debated about announcers, and NFL radio was kind of switching, you know, from game to game towards the end. That Chargers announcer, Matt Money, he may be, it's close, but I think he may be worse than Brent even.
I think he's a good studio guy. He's a good talk show guy, but that does not make him a good play-by-play announcer.
Right. My friend Rick says he runs a very good fantasy show that he hears, but then he's
and he is not a good play-by-play announcer.
The Petros and Money out in L.A., very good show.
Yep.
You know, when they had the, you know, but he's not good as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah. And bear in mind, those of us in the Big Ten, we've heard him for Big Ten basketball tournaments for a few years now, and it's not gotten any better. Yeah.
Well, I'm boycotting. I can't comment on Brent because I'm boycotting him. I didn't listen to him at all today. I just listened to Eric.
I only heard him because they were going to him, you know, on.
Oh, I know. But I have been asking Miss A to play. I was playing the, you know, when I wanted to hear that game, I played the Cardinals. So
I would agree with that.
You know.
Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders, Raiders 23, Cardinals 22. Apparently, John Gruden very happy, jumping up and down on the sideline at the end of the game. So that is their second win of the year.
Well, they're now, there's a big mishmash for that first draft choice now because they're 2-8 and the Niners are 2-8 and the Arizona's 2-8. And of course, just ahead of them, the Giants and Tampa Bay at 3-7. So you've got a big battle for that first draft choice. And what I heard, and I don't know, you guys know more about it. Are there any big quarterback possibilities coming out? Because you wonder about Derek Carr. Because what I'm saying is, I don't think Gruden likes to keep the people that were there before, and Derek Carr was not his guy. You know what I'm saying?
Not a lot of big quarterback. I mean, the one guy that's the big quarterback possibility has already signed a baseball contract. So unless they can talk him into playing football, you know, with Kyler Murray, he signed that $5 million deal with the A's.
Okay. All right.
Saints 48, Eagles 7. This game was not close at all.
The score made it closer than what it really was.
Yeah. They were behind 17-0 right away. They got a touchdown. They stopped the Saints, and then from there on, and so they had about five, six minutes of good football, and that was it. And Merrill Reese was not a happy man, not at all.
He certainly was not. Vikings Bears just underway. Chiefs Rams Monday at 8:15. We may be that game still may be going when we come on next week.
It may.
I think the over under is like 145 now or something like that.
Well, but it's also, by the way, for those who don't know, and we didn't know this last week, it's being played at the Los Angeles Coliseum because the field in Mexico was not playable. They had some soccer there, and it messed up the field.
The music festival that they had messed up the field, and when they tried to play a soccer game on there, it was a playoff soccer game in Liga MX. It was torn up, and it was very atrocious because it was a festival, like 20 different bands, and I guess some people rushed the field, and they used the Azteca Stadium for everything down there.
Well, and hey, we almost had a problem with Miami a couple of weeks ago with the Jets in Miami. That field wasn't good either, so. You know, there's field issues with some of these places.
From what I understand, this made the Miami field look good.
Nobody has to worry about getting into and out of Mexico or going in a convoy or doing anything. Everything will be fine. So looking at the standings, and then we'll do the schedule for next week. Nothing happened in the AFC East. They were not playing. So Miami's one of the teams in the wild card mix at 5-5 now. Pittsburgh at 6-2-1. Cincinnati's 5-5, and Baltimore's 5-5. So you can see what I'm talking about this second wild card. In the South, you got Houston at 6-3. Tennessee's 5-5. Indianapolis is 5-5. There you go. Jacksonville pretty much ended their season going to 3-7. In the West, we have Kansas City at 9-1. Chargers now at 7-3. So again, they're in good shape for that top wild card. Denver's up to 4-6. Now that takes a lot of cooperation for other teams for them to get into that mix, but they're just outside of it. Let's put it that way. In the East, we have Washington dropping to 6-4 and Dallas moving to 5-5. So they're in the wild card mix, and they're also only a game behind the Redskins. So that's going to make that a big game on Thursday. Philadelphia missed an opportunity. They're now 4-6. They also suffered a lot of injuries today and had some before, so they're in tough shape. This is one of those, and I know it happens fairly often, that the Super Bowl champion doesn't go back to the playoffs. I think that's what we're going to see this year. We have a big one tonight. We have the Bears at 6-3, Minnesota 5-3-1. The winner of this game will be in first place in the Central. The second one will basically be tied with Carolina for all intents and purposes for the two wild cards. Green Bay at 4-5-1, as I told you, they're still in it, but they damaged themselves. Detroit kind of a little bit on the fringe. One today. Mm-hmm. They're 4-6 in the West. Saints basically locked up that division. They got a 3-game lead now. They're 8-1. Carolina 6-4, as we just talked about. Atlanta, that was a big loss for them.
You mean in the South?
Oh, South. South. The Saints used to be in the West. All of New Louisiana moved to the South. They used to be in the West. Okay, so
The Rams fans were about to go haywire when you started saying in the West.
Well, that's right, because they used to play the Rams twice a year, and they were in the West. So we get old habits die hard. So we got the Carolinas at 6-4, Atlanta damaging loss at 4-6, and then in the real West, the wild wild West, the Rams at 9-1 again, ready for that shootout against the Chiefs.
Nobody's even close to them.
And no, that Seattle, although, is in the wild card mix at 5-5 behind. So the loser of tonight's game will be basically with Carolina for those two wild cards, and then the 5-loss teams will be right behind them. So that's kind of the way that works. And let me grab my trusty schedule, and we will run down the Thanksgiving weekend games for you. Actually, we got all rivalries on Thursday, which is kind of cool.
All NFC rivalries.
All NFC rivalries. Okay. We have on Thursday, this is all Eastern, of course, 12:30 p.m., Chicago at Detroit, and that's on CBS. Now, Chicago and Detroit, you know, people talk about Green Bay and Detroit, but the next most played game is in NFL history, I think, is Chicago and Detroit. Detroit's been around since the 30s, and remember, Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay have been together in either the same conference or division since 1961 when Minnesota came into the league. Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago played basically twice a year, 30 years before that. So, you know, an old rivalry that you don't think much about. Washington at Dallas at 4:30. We talked about that on Fox. That'll be a good game. Atlanta at New Orleans, a battle of the South. They have played ever since the Saints came in 67. They've played twice a year. They've always been in the same division. Sunday, November 25th, we have Jacksonville at Buffalo, 1 p.m., and that's going to be interesting to see if Buffalo gets their quarterback back or how that's going to work. I don't even know. With the bye, maybe he's had time to recuperate. Cleveland at Cincinnati, 1 p.m. Oh, by the way, that game's on CBS. Cleveland at Cincinnati, 1 p.m., also on CBS. Miami at Indianapolis, 1 p.m. on CBS. There's two of those 5-loss wildcard battlers that'll meet. The Patriots are at the Jets, 1 p.m. on CBS. I think that there were reports coming out that the Jets coach is an uphill battle to keep his job as they're 3-7. We have the Giants at Philadelphia, 1 p.m. on Fox. We talked about the fact that the Eagles are really hurting puppies right now, and they're not going to be very happy. But the Giants have been playing better, so we'll see what happens. San Francisco at Tampa Bay, 1 p.m. on Fox. We'll see who the starter for Tampa Bay is. Seattle at Carolina, 1 p.m. on Fox. Again, this is teams that are fighting for those wild card spots. Oakland at Baltimore, 1 p.m. on CBS. Then we have Arizona at the Chargers, 4:05 on Fox. So that means the doubleheader is on CBS. Pittsburgh at Denver, 4:25 p.m. on CBS. That's their game of the day. And Denver's a decent team. They'll give them a battle, especially at Denver. Green Bay at Minnesota. Again, the Vikings will be on Sunday night, 8:20 p.m. on NBC. And the Monday night game is going to be Tennessee and Houston. And that'll be a good one. Houston does in good shape for the division, but again, important for both teams. Because, again, and Houston is fighting for positioning in the AFC there. So Tennessee at Houston, 8:15 on ESPN Watch and ESPN. And because their game will last until Wednesday, they're going to let the Kansas City and Los Angeles Rams have a bye next week. And also because they were supposed to be going to Mexico, and they didn't.
Correct.
So
remember, if you have anything you want to talk about, it's Alt-Y on your Zoom app, or it's *9 on the phone to raise your hand. And we will get to
this up.
We have Walter waiting, by the way.
Okay.
All right.
Want to talk to Walter?
Let's talk to him.
Here you go, Walter.
Make sure he's not muted here. Hold on just a second, guys.
Okay. We'll get you there, Walter. Don't go anywhere.
Don't say anything I wouldn't, but
might tell Walter to do a *6 and unmute himself.
Yeah.
Or go through the mute menu.
Yeah. Just hold it, just maybe we'll get him.
We'll get him. Okay, then we'll try to get him, but little college stuff going on first of all.
I got it.
Oh, there we go. All right, now we got Walter.
Hey, Walter, what's going on?
Look right into that. Look right in and talk to us.
Well, I was just going to let you know that Drake won today against a team called Sea Sun.
Okay.
This being the women, you have to be.
Yeah, this is Drake women. Yeah, Drake women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that's good.
Who is C's son?
I don't know.
Well, maybe a California school. I'm going to guess it's California state something or another, but that's. The last I knew, C's son was a tech conference that was held for blind people and, all that. That's all I know. I don't know anything about a school.
Let's hope it wasn't blind people playing basketball, though.
Yeah, really.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wouldn't that?
Yeah, it would. Okay. All right.
Sean, so, how about the college stuff?
Yeah, all right. First of all, let me address something that we had an anonymous caller, or caller who wishes to remain anonymous, listener from Cedar Park, Texas, wanted to correct me on something, and after that, hopefully, we can say good. To give you a clue, we can say good night to that one. I said last week this is year four of the playoffs. This is actually year five. How easily we forget sometimes, because last year it was the Rose and the Sugar. This year it's Cotton Orange. And so the games will be played New Year's Eve. That is why the championship will be on Monday the 7th. Now, next year I think it switches to the 2nd, but they still have it set up this year for New Year's Eve because it's on a Monday. The real big issue was when New Year's Eve was on Saturday, and then when, of course, it was on Sunday with New Year's Eve being on the 30th, but Monday they don't feel as worried. But I want to thank that person. I want to thank him for listening, for finding his way to listen to us. Also, a couple coaching changes going on. Colorado, Mike McIntyre is out. The interim head coach, I can't remember who it is, will be coaching their game against Utah this week. And it looks like Les Miles will be going to Kansas. So
he is in Lawrence tonight, so he is there.
So what do you think as far as you guys, again, I kind of just ask questions because I don't really follow the coaching carousel in college that well. Does that mean that he's going to get the kind of money, because they don't usually invest in college football in Kansas, not for a long time. Is he going to get the kind of money that he was getting before, or is this the
Let's just say he's getting a pretty big deal because he went to LSU and asked about a buyout, and he was supposed to have been getting – was it $5.5-6 million, I think, Pierce? But he went and got it changed. So now he got like $1.5 million. So I think he's getting, I've heard, anywhere from $4 to $5 million a year deal, because they want him because Mangino was the last time that they won anything. So they think he can come in. And he's a defensive guy in the Big 12. That could be interesting.
I think Kansas, any way that Kansas could be relevant at this point, whatever they have to do, I think they're willing to do it, because Kansas is really the doormat of the Big 12.
Right. They see what Iowa State was and then what Iowa State became. And they even see, now we all know how they did it, but they saw when Baylor came in the Big 12 after Grant Taft left, and then Baylor became a power, and we all know what. But of course, Baylor now, hopefully doing it the right way, they see that and say, "Wait a minute, we know if the Big 12 either stays together or if the Big 12 folds and we're going somewhere, we got to be competitive. Depending on where we go, we know we'll get there in basketball, but we got to be competitive in football if we have to go to like a Big Ten or a Pac 12 or somewhere."
Okay, so what would you say the highlights of yesterday's action were? Not too many surprises, I guess, huh?
Well, the best game of the day, I will say, was Oklahoma State, West Virginia. Oklahoma State upsetting West Virginia 45-41. I mean, it was down, it was back and forth. And Oklahoma State's that type of team. They played their competition. They battled. I mean, we saw what they did with Texas. In a lot of cases, they should have beat Oklahoma last week. And what they did to West Virginia, basically all but knocking West Virginia out of contention in the Big 12. If So it's down to, with the other game with Texas, Iowa State, Texas beating them. Texas, if they win out on Friday against Kansas, should, you know, they will be playing whoever wins between Oklahoma and West Virginia, because West Virginia, if they lose, will have three losses. And then if they win, of course, Oklahoma will have the two losses, but Texas has that tiebreaker over Oklahoma because they beat them. So it's, you know, it's down to Oklahoma, West Virginia, who plays Texas in there. So I think that was a good, you know, decent game. Ohio State struggling against Maryland, going to overtime.
Maryland, Ohio State scored and kicked an extra point. Maryland scored and went for two in the win. I'm not sure I would have done that the way that Maryland.
No, I wouldn't have done that either. So did we call that the Scandal Bowl, I guess?
Yeah, we could. I think that was.
We call that the Scandal
Bowl. Hey, we had the Waltz Bowl yesterday. We had Missouri and Tennessee. They're the Waltz Bowl, so why not?
Yeah, we had the, that game was a surprise to me. Central Florida, I think they're going to be in the top 10 now. Do they deserve? I don't know. That's a debate. With West Virginia, you know, them falling, I think, at Central Florida.
Yeah, they say they're going to give lip service to these other conferences. Then they, when a MAC team or an AAC team does this, they've got to put them in.
Well, AAC, I think, is a lot of higher level than the MAC. I will say AAC is probably that next. Them and Mountain West are right there. But, I mean, Cincinnati was ranked, whether they should have been or not. Cincinnati had a tougher schedule going into the game than Central Florida. Game day was there. So I think they're going to somehow be in the top 10. Of course, your SEC.
And the game was on ABC. I mean, it was.
It was the Fowler Herb Street game. Game day. It was the big game. I mean, and your SEC, I think. The SEC all played their nobody games like they usually do. They had those. Notre Dame just handled Syracuse. Not really a big.
I thought Syracuse gave them a better battle than that, but they did not.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I don't know what Perry thinks, but that's just my thoughts on some of the games.
Yeah. Georgia is sitting there. I guess Georgia is a big Ohio State fan because they're at number five. You know, there's always somebody, and of course they got to beat Georgia Tech, and that's not going to be easy. Georgia Tech's a good team, but they got to do that, and then they need to see if they can sneak into that top four, because they're not going to be in a championship game. They're going to play Alabama later, aren't they?
Yeah, they play Alabama in the championship. They've already clinched.
Never overestimate that Ohio State-Michigan game. That's one of those you throw out the record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and that brings
us to
the rivalry. Rivalry week this week. Of course, you got Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn. Yep. Starts off Mississippi State.
Go Rebs.
Washington. Washington State. They pretty much wrapped up the North. You know, they got Washington. You know, your Utah, Colorado, the Arizona schools, the Oregon schools playing each other. Your legislature mandated rivalry, the Florida State, the Georgia Tech, and South Carolina.
LSU, Texas A&M. That's a rivalry game, I guess.
It kind of is, but that could be interesting to see how LSU does. You know, you got Arkansas, Missouri. You know that one. Notre Dame is Notre Dame playing USC?
They are USC. Yeah, it's an USC, even year. Notre Dame, Saturday after Thanksgiving, years they play USC.
Yeah, Notre Dame should handle USC, but you never know. Central Florida plays South Florida, who South Florida was a top team, but they've been falling. I mean, kind of turned into a pretty big rivalry game.
BC plays Syracuse here for bowl pecking rights, you know, to see where they rank in the ACC pecking order for bowls, because they're both they'd be tied both 8-4, but then BC would have beaten them.
Then you got the Big 12, who did away with rivalry week because they did this last year because they were worried about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State playing twice in a row when they brought back the championship. So you got Oklahoma, West Virginia is the big game. That is pretty much the big game there, which of course, up until last night, there were those that could have very easily been what they were trying to avoid, having the two teams that played play each other the next week. you know, they were trying to.
Right now, like you now might want to remind people, Perry and Sean, of that number to call to get those of us who are on our regular sports lounge. We get it every week, but the XM schedule is going to be very important this week to get those game times for everything. So, you know, might want to mention that right now because we've got games starting Thursday. Are there any games Thursday night, by the way? Or
there are
Mississippi State.
In Mississippi,
okay.
Yes.
The Egg Bowl.
Yeah,
all right.
That kicks off at 641-715-3800 and then 36867 pound. That's how you get it. So that'll give you your time release.
It brings another thing up, too, with college football. The FCS or 1AA, if you wish, playoffs were announced today, and I do not have the entire bracket because ESPN did not do a real good job of that. But I do know that the UNI Panthers, the Northern Iowa Panthers, they will host Lamar on Saturday at 4 p.m. in Cedar Falls. North Dakota State is number one. They're the top team, as you would expect. Two, I forget who number two was, but nonetheless, it'll all go through Bismarck. So, and that brings up a problem that Iowa State may run into. They were scheduled on December 1st to play Incarnate Word. That would have made up the game that was weathered out back in early September at Iowa State. But Incarnate Word is in the playoffs. So I don't imagine you're going to see that game played.
No, I don't think it'll be played at all. No, I think it's going to. Now, the Cal Stanford game was canceled because of the wildfires, and they will be playing that game on December 1st at, I believe, 4 p.m.
Right. So that'll be right in the middle of championship week. So which championships do we know? Do we have them all lined up or
not? We know the SEC. That's Georgia, Alabama.
Right.
And we know Washington State in the Pac-12 North, and it looks like Utah right now. Utah, I think, is in the driver's seat for the South. We know Northwestern. It'll be Northwestern versus Michigan or Ohio State.
Yep.
Texas against Oklahoma or West Virginia.
Yeah. Clemson is in, and Clemson will play, if Pitt wins, they will play Pitt in that championship game.
No, Pitt wrapped it up yesterday.
Pitt did wrap it up? Okay.
So
they're playing Miami
Clemson
this week. Clemson and Pitt.
And then, you know, some of the others, like I said, you got in some of the money, you got Central Florida. They will be playing, I think, Houston. They will still be playing Houston, even though Houston lost.
And by the way, Sean, you might want to real quickly tell us about the Houston problem that we had.
That was leading me into.
Houston, we do have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Major Applewhite, the head coach, and Ed Oliver, who's probably going to be like top three pick this year. Ed Oliver was on the sidelines wearing a coat, and it was in the 50s. It wasn't cold. It was in the 50s. And Major Applewhite said, "You need to take your coat off. The guys that are playing with their coach, you're just out here, you know." And then there was a little altercation. Applewhite said he handled it wrong. Oliver said he handled it, but it blew up big time. It went all over because it got on camera. The altercation did because he was like, you know, look, you're not playing for whatever reason, whether you really are or really aren't hurt. So, you know, you need to take your coat off. You need to, you know, not be on the sideline. You need to do, I understand you're out here, but, and it got a little ugly, and they were both in the wrong.
Yep. So that takes care of our college football stuff. And anybody else? Do we have any raised hands, Bill, that want to talk to us?
We've got 708, but no raised hands. So
okay. Well, we'll get the 708. That would be Jamal. How you doing, Jamal?
You want to unmute yourself, Jamal? #6.
*9.
*6.
*9.
*6.
Hey, we can hear you. That's right. There we go, Jamal. What's happening?
Well, what a week of NFL football. Jacksonville Pittsburgh game. We had it on in this area since the Bears game was on tonight, and Jacksonville just gave the game away. And the Raiders and the Raiders and Broncos actually pulled through.
Yep.
I mean, it kind of ripped my football picks apart in the
It ripped everybody's. I don't think anybody's doing very well because if you listen to the stats we used to mention it before the season started. Our friend Larry runs this football contest, and he gives us stats. And they were very lopsided this week. You know, 25 picking this one, 7 that one. And most of the teams that won today were not picked by too many people, so I don't think anybody's going to have a big week.
But Jamal, you did well on Thursday, though, in your contest. You did well in combined scores on Thursday.
Yeah, I did. So I'm happy about that. But I'm also going to say this: as I'm listening to the wild cards in the AFC, I think that the Chargers will make it for sure.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't surprise me if don't fall asleep on Indianapolis.
If you're Andrew Luck and you come into somewhere, Pittsburgh or New England or Houston, you're going to have a puncher's chance because you're Andrew Luck. You know, I mean, you're a good quarterback, you know?
Right. And in the NFC, if the Bears should lose this game, which I hope they don't, then they will probably be in good shape in the wild card with Carolina. Yep. Although Carolina had no business losing that game this afternoon in the first place. And why I was baffled, but why Rivera went for it was ridiculous. Kicked 29 straight field goals before today's game. Everybody can have a bad week.
I know. The problem. I mean, I understood it at least this time. Some of this other stuff that's gone on with the two-pointers, like I don't understand that business with Maryland yesterday that you guys have told me about because I was at a conference. I wasn't there. But, you know, some of that stuff I don't get. The thing that Tennessee pulled, I at least understand this. I'm not saying I did guess that that's what he would do. And, you know, but you lose your kicker. I mean, if you're going to have a guy, then you're going to say, win us a game next week with a field goal? I don't know. That's tough.
Right. And on the issue of college football, Perry, how many Missouri Valley teams made it to the FDS playoffs other than Northern Iowa?
Northern Iowa and then North Dakota State and South Dakota State.
So my alma mater didn't do well enough this year.
Unfortunately, Jamal, they finished last. I think they had one win.
Oh, good grief. Well,
just hang your hat on your Wildcats, your Northwestern Wildcats for your college football and, see if you can root them in against Michigan or Ohio State.
Yep. And the Illini, Jamal, they're going to the Maui thing. We'll get to basketball here in just a minute, but they're going to the Maui tournament. I would suspect the three teams that are probably going to be the higher, and that would be Duke, Iowa State, and Gonzaga. But, hey, you never know.
They're playing – I guess I heard they're playing Gonzaga.
That is correct. At 10:30 Central Time tomorrow night.
Okay.
That ought to be interesting.
So we probably should transition to baseball. We should go over the awards.
Hold on just a second, Chris. Pierre?
Pierre's here.
Pierre is here.
NASCAR update, too. Yeah.
Let's see if I can impress Pierre. Joey Logano won the championship today.
Oh, how about that?
All right. Good job, Perry.
Okay.
Pierre, thanks to my iPhone for telling me that.
Right. Cole Custer won the truck. Tyler Reddick won Xfinity, and Joey Logano won the Monster Cup.
Okay, all right.
Go Saints!
There you go.
Go Saints. Well, the Saints did go today, and I'm telling you, the Rams and the Saints look pretty impressive, and I really think anything, it's football, anything can happen, but boy, those are for sure. We were talking about the AFC with four teams that you could see going to the Super Bowl. I think we really only got two in the NFC because I can't see the Redskins or the Central team being able to do it. You know, I just think the Rams and the Saints have too much firepower.
And I mean, the Saints were actually laying down, trying not to score. And then about 3 minutes left to go in the game, they had it fourth down and a half a yard to go, and he kicked the field goal. And that's not Sean Payton.
I agree. I actually, Pierre, and I mean, we go after Mr. Streif, you know, how not good he is. But he made a good point, though, with a minute to go. Why on earth, if you're the Eagles, do you still have Carson Wentz, who's supposed to be your franchise quarterback, who missed with an ACL? Why do you still have him out there in an empty backfield with a minute to go?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then the LSU player last week, he got in big trouble with the odds makers in Las Vegas because by the coaches telling him not to score, to lay down just before you get to the goal line in order for the time to run out, he didn't meet the point spread. They were all over him this week.
I bet they were.
Well, sometime we should talk a little about sports betting because it's going to get worse before it gets better because you're going to have everybody betting these games now when the states legalize it.
And who is it this week, Pierre? It's A&M that LSU gets?
Yeah, Texas A&M.
And it is a Saturday. It's back to Saturday. It's not Thanksgiving night now. Right. Oh, you know, there. Oh, you up here.
We just told him, I didn't want to run a score up on their rice, even though Paris.
That's not bad.
Okay.
I'm in too, so guys.
We probably should talk about some baseball. We got a few minutes left.
Hold on, Chris. Bill, what were you saying?
Jerry is hanging with his hand raised.
Oh, Jerry. Okay.
His hand raised. Oh, Jerry. Hey,
Jerry. What's going on, Jerry?
Star six, Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
Here we go. Hey, I'll tell you, it was scary for a while when Pitt was losing 10-6, but they came on back. They play Miami at 3:30. How do you size up Clemson, Sean, or whoever?
As I understand it, from the most part, people are just saying it's the Clemson and Alabama Invitationals.
They really shut people
Clemson,
down.
Alabama, I mean, Notre Dame.
They shut them down. They shut BC down. Now BC lost their quarterback right away in the game, but they would have probably been 27-14 or something. BC played well against them defensively, and I think that's what Pitt is going to need to do to stay in the game, because Clemson's run up some big scores on some teams, but BC did okay on that end of the ball. But Clemson has really got a shutdown defense, as does Alabama, and that's where they really have people nailed. You know, they've got better defenses than some of these NFL teams, I think.
Okay.
That was a good win. That was a good win for the Steelers today,
yes,
and solidifies their position. And so that was good. And they're in good shape for winning their division. And that, as I said earlier, that's what a good team does and what a bad team does. Jacksonville's not a good team this year, and you can give them all the leads you want, but Roethlisberger doesn't. Those guys like Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze, they can come back because they know they've done it before and they'll do it again.
Bears 3 with 53 seconds left to go in the first quarter.
Bears are leading 3-0, huh?
Right.
Okay. That's not good. I think the Vikings.
Hit this baseball real quick.
Should we hit the baseball, Chris?
Baseball. Yeah, sure. Okay, so Perry, you want to run down the award winners and then we'll talk about them a little bit?
Well, the ones that we, Chris and I, had a little bit of an argument on were Rookie of the Year, and Shohei Ohtani won it in the American League, and who's the National League? Ronald Acuña of the Braves. I can't argue with that one. Brian Snitker of the Braves, Manager of the Year. Bob Melvin in the American League. Blake Snell in the American League for the Cy Young. Jacob DeGrom with the Mets in the National League. And then the MVPs were Christian Yelich in the NL, Mookie Betts in the AL. And my only problem with Shohei Ohtani, by the letter of the law, he does qualify. He is a rookie. But I think when you've played in Japan as long as he has, it should actually go to a real rookie player.
Well, I don't agree. I think it muddies the waters. I think we have MLB here, and Japanese players come in, and they haven't dominated this. It's clear that, and I'm not being chauvinistic. I'm just talking facts here. It's about like U.S. basketball versus the world. The MLB is the top of the sport, and we've had guys that have dominated in Japan and come in and really haven't done much. And so I think that you can just say, this is the show, as they used to call it. And so you got to give credit to guys like Suzuki and Ohtani. And I'm glad Suzuki, he's going to make the Hall of Fame. Ohtani is starting off on a good career. But I think that, this is when they're really playing. I will say our sports, other than soccer, which MLS is a AAA, AA soccer. But our sports, I say the Red Sox are the world champions. The Eagles, are for the moment the world champions. The Capitals and the Warriors, because these are the best leagues, and that's just the way I feel about it. And I also think when you muddy the waters and you say, well, he played so many years in Japan, that almost gets back to the controversy about women's sports and men's sports when they were foolishly comparing the UConn's women's streak, which was a great streak, the UCLA men's streak. They're different sports. They're both great. They're different. You don't compare women's high jumps to men's high jump. It's just a different sport. So I think that's kind of, they're playing the same sport, but I don't think MLB, that's the show. And the other sports are, Japan is probably like a AAA league, something like that. And you just have to leave it at that.
And we do know that the hot stove is heating up. Apparently, Noah Syndergaard or the Mets might be on the trading block. And speaking of the Mets, Josh Lewin, their second man in the booth behind Howie Rose, will not be returning to the Mets. He said he has another opportunity, but he did not say where that opportunity was. So we will follow that story.
I would like to start my own rumor, if I may, and I have any information.
It is simply a rumor.
It is simply a rumor, but I'm just saying he's now doing UCLA sports for KLAC, which is the voice of the Dodgers, and there was much criticism of Charlie Steiner. As we saw in our sports groups, there were articles every day about mistakes that Charlie Steiner was making, including his signature call of the year, since they didn't win the World Series, was his pennant-winning call, and he said the Dodgers had come from 3-2 behind to beat Milwaukee. They didn't. They went in 3-2 ahead. They lost Game 6 and won Game 7. So he screwed up his signature call of the year. He's 69 years old, which isn't old because I'm going to be 69 in just a few days. But my point is, he's made a lot of mistakes. I think Josh Lewin moving into that broadcast booth would be great. Josh Lewin is a wonderful announcer. To also remember that there's other places that he's had experience with Baltimore. If something happens, if something breaks there,
Rangers,
on the radio TV side, the Rangers, Cubs. So. Yeah. You know, something could be breaking that we don't know about that hasn't come out. But and Charlie Steiner deserves the right to announce his retirement if that's what he's going to do, and you know, move on. And this will also be an interesting thing as to who the Mets pick for their second guy. They're going over to WCBS, which means they're back on intercom / whatever you want to call it. This could be an indication of how they feel. Are they going to bring in a ball player to work with, like Susan works with John? As she's not a ball player, but she does no inning. Are they going to bring in a ball player like we have in Detroit and some other places? They're going to bring in another announcer. And could that other announcer, a young buck kind of guy, not to Jack Buck necessarily, but a young announcer, come in and be the guy that might be looked to take John Sterling's place over on the other, on FAN down the road? I mean, this will be an interesting call for the Mets and WCBS as well.
Yeah, and the hot stove is heating up. I mean, there was a guy that called in on XM today that suggested that the Red Sox could trade for Noah Syndergaard. They suggested they trade Jackie Bradley Jr. and is it Rodriguez, the catcher, and one more player. I don't know that I would want to trade Jackie Bradley Jr., though, because not too many people do.
He is a great center fielder, and that's every day. But he hits about 230, and he's a streaky hitter. He can have a great 2 weeks and then a horrible three. So that's the problem with Jackie Bradley. By the way, there was one stat that I heard, that Mookie Betts, he won the MVP, and I'm glad about that. But that he is the first player, at least in American League history, and maybe in all of the history, and of course the Silver Slugger is a new award. He won the World Series, the MVP, the Silver Slugger, and the Gold Glove this year. So, a quadruple crown of sorts. So I don't know if there's been any in the National League, but that's what I heard after he won the MVP.
And going forward, we will have hot stove stuff. I mean, the winter meetings are like in a couple of weeks, so I suspect the baseball will be heating up.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Greinke of the Diamondbacks also possibly on the trading block, so we'll see how that works out. But that just gives you a little bit of preparation. And I think, Bill, what are we, about 2 minutes?
We have about 2 good minutes to go.
Okay, right. Is there anything that really jumps out at college basketball?
Nothing really, just tournaments going on in college basketball. You got all the tournaments, Vegas, Hawaii,
Maui.
NIT, and we could go into Draymond and KD, but I think there's going to be other incidents as well.
Things will come up because that. They're going to have to deal with that problem. Golden State does not have a happy locker room right now.
One little thing I did learn, if you're an IRA subscriber, the Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium, has free IRA, so it doesn't count against your IRA minutes. I heard that the other morning. So.
And we do want to wish our callers and our listeners happy Thanksgiving. We hope you have a great holiday, plenty of football, basketball, and food.
Yep, that's
that
right.
And we had about a minute, so why don't you wrap it up?
We will be here. Yeah, we will be here next Sunday. Remember, if you want to go back and listen to any part of this again, go to legendoldies.com, look up the date on the talk show page, Sports Lounge Live, or you can go to the conversation station, 712-432-6499, hit 4 and then 2 and then 4 pound. Now, also, if you want to leave us any messages throughout the week, if you're listening on delay, 773-572-7715. We want to, once again, thank all the callers. Thank everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much.
Oh, enjoy yourself. Stuff. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and eat. Eat all you want.
Do what I do, and that gives you a lot of latitude. That's basically it.
But we do want to say thank everybody so far for episode, whatever this is, 15, 16. 16.
Sweet 16.